everyone. Welcome to Garden Fork Radio, the podcast about eclectic DIY. You're here with Rick and Eric. Welcome, Rick.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm great. I have stain all over the back of my hands and not the front.
Why the back of your hands?
Because I'm staining some wood and I use those gloves. They're cotton gloves that looks like the fronts have been dipped in latex.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get any stain in the front of my hands, but I got some, I guess the stain got on the cottony part of the glove and then it stained my hands. So it looks a little weird.
So what are you staining?
Doing some doors in the house. I'm making a video about it. So that would be an upcoming Garden Fork show for y'all.
Yeah. You know, we, I'm redoing some French doors here at the house, and mainly because a visiting dog that used to stay here had some anxiety issues that I didn't really appreciate, and we closed the French doors, and he actually managed to get his head down through the bottom of them, and he actually chewed away the bottom of one door, and so I'm rebuilding that corner of the door with some epoxy-like stuff from the blue store, and I'm going to have to repaint the whole thing. There is nothing quite as painful as repainting French doors.
Yeah, for everyone doesn't know what a French door is, it's the kind of door with the glass panes in it. Like they have like three or four across and like nine high or something. It's the glass door.
Yeah, it's painful. I mean, I can't get it right. I'm not a great painter anyway. I don't have the patience for it.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, but you do good other things you do really well, like talking on the podcast.
Listen, it was great to hear you and your sister talking last week about taking care of the folks and working through some of your elder care issues.
Yeah, I didn't really get a lot of feedback from that show. And I was wondering if people, I mean, it wasn't super Garden Forky, but I just thought maybe people that are about to go through it, we just went through, could learn something from that. So.
Well, you know, people hear things like that and they put it back in the back of their mind and they kind of store it up for later and they'll say, oh, yeah, I remember. You know, I've had people contact me, Garden Fork Tony, just before Christmas. He's our Garden Fork scientist, says, I remember you guys talking about cameras and I'm thinking about getting one for my daughter for Christmas I can't remember exactly which one you recommended, and so we talked some about that. So you know they file it away and they dredge it up when they need it. So sometimes it's just knowing that there's going to be issues and what they'll be helps. Right now we're getting ready. We'll be gone most of February, I think, but we're getting ready as soon as we get back to start into some hardcore. Estate planning and stuff, you know, not leaving anything until the very last minute. And so that'll be interesting. We're going to be working with a lawyer and trying to see what we can do to shelter our assets and take care of ourselves.
Good for you. Remember me and your will.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I'll get your seed starting trays and your LED grow lights.
I'll send you my LED grow lights, which, by the way, are doing pretty good. But boy, are they loud! I'm going to have to, I guess, build a little greenhouse out back and run power to it, and actually get them out of the house because I don't like being in the bedroom, which is kind of my little home office and my seed starting place, because the fans, it's like sitting in a server room, and I'm past sitting in a server room and listening to those blowers and things going all the time. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to talk about a different technology today. We're going to talk about photography, and both Rick and I are photo bugs, I guess you would call us. You're going to go on a trip, right?
Yeah. We try to get out and go visit my little brother who's down in Florida about this time every year. And so we're going to bug out and go see him. Last year, I kind of pride myself. We have similar backgrounds, really. You actually studied photography in school, didn't you?
Videography. Yeah, I have a degree in it.
Yeah. And I actually came up as a high school photographer back in the days when we processed our own film, did black and white and all that. And so we kind of have similar tracks coming up, and we've had a lifelong interest in it. And I'm kind of an on-again, off-again photographer. I have other interests as well. But I really pride myself on doing it well and doing it right and mastering my camera. And so when I had a major failure last winter, and it was all just kind of hubris on my part, I'd lost a lot of the technique I had with my camera, and I made a bumbling error that just wiped out 64 gigabyte card irretrievably, and I lost all the pictures that we had taken down in Florida last year. And so this year, I am starting on the 1st, yesterday, rereading all the manuals for my camera. I have a couple of books that I'm going to thumb back through and start practicing with the camera every day between now and then, and relearning and becoming as good as I was back on our Mediterranean trip that we took a couple of years ago, where the camera, just using the camera, looking at a situation and knowing what settings and what scene settings and whatnot will work to get the very best pictures that I can. And it pays off in the end, but some of it's just a matter of personal pride of mastery.
Yep.
And so... that's what I'm up to right now, but you have to work at it.
What kind of camera do you have?
I have a Canon EOS 70D. It's one of their newer ones. It gets pretty good ratings. The one reason I bought it was brand new when I did buy it, is it has on its video, it has a new,
DSLR, it's called.
Thank you. Digital single lens reflex. And so it takes pictures, but it also takes video. And on the video side of this, it has a silent focusing mechanism, which was brand new, auto-focusing on when it first came out. And I really needed that because at my eyesight and my age, I really don't see that little screen too well to focus anymore manually. Mm-hmm. And it tracks really well. And so that's the reason I bought that particular one.
Yeah, some of the previous, I have an earlier DSLR, and the autofocus in the video mode will hunt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so you'll see it go in and out, and it's trying to, and... It's kind of funny, on YouTube, that's kind of accepted that autofocus cameras do that, so no one edits it out anymore. They just leave it in.
It hurts my heart when I see that.
Yeah, I mean, I worked in that world for years. You know, I worked in photography and film business for a long time, so everything we wanted in focus. And it's kind of funny because now I actually... the first 6 years of Garden Fork were kind of this run and gun style that I'm actually trying to make more storyline like and visually interesting now. But it was kind of a reaction to everything having to be perfect. And now, and Garden Fork was like, well, you know, look, we're just going to get the thing on, stick on the video, you know?
Right.
But I was thinking about if people are thinking of going on a trip, the DSLR is a great camera, but I've actually found in my own experience is I prefer a smaller camera for day-to-day work, day-to-day traveling. My friend has it looks almost like an older rangefinder camera,
mm-hmm.
like a little Leica, but it's not a Leica because those are very expensive. And those, I think, are much better for a lot of the average person that is going on a trip, because if they don't want to do that deep dive into the photography end of it, they just want to record the trip, it's a couple steps above a cell phone photo, because you can zoom in and out and set like a nighttime setting or flash settings. But that's it. And then it just, you know, it goes to a card and you can just keep loading more cards in there. And I found that to actually be my preferred way to go.
You know, that really works. And She Who Must Be Obeyed has, in fact, it's the same one that Garden Fork Tony got for his daughter for Christmas. It's an Olympus Tough camera.
Yes.
And it's drop proof. And we actually lost it on the med trip, and it went down off the wharf bounced off the rocks and into the water. And I had to pay a kid to go down and get it for us. And but it's waterproof down to 20 feet. It's shockproof, drop from 10 or 15 feet onto concrete. And it takes wonderful pictures. And it has, you know, fully automatic and lots of great scene settings. And we can do almost as much with that camera as I can do with my DSLR up to a point. And, you know, it really works great. And for her, it works perfectly because, you know, you can say, put it here or turn this knob, put it there. That's all you need to know. And that works for her.
There is something to be said for the DSLR because it gives you something to do.
You know, I have always been the person that wants a job when at anything, you know, if it's handing out tickets or serving food or finding people seats. I just don't like to be at a meeting or something and be left standing around and having to interact with people. Having a camera in your hand is the very best thing to have. You can hide behind it.
Yeah.
you know, I also, Gail calls it camera time. When we go on trips and I slip into camera time, I see things much more clearly and acutely, but I slow down a lot. When we were in, say, Venice, I could sit in St. Mark's Square, that one place, drinking those $35 cups of coffee. That was ridiculous. All day long, and just watching the sun and the people go by and how it changed the effects on the buildings and stuff. But I really slow down, and I actually, some people say they don't remember the trip. They're busy taking pictures so much.
Right.
For me, it's exactly opposite. It's because I'm taking pictures that I do see and do remember the trip.
That's interesting, because I actually have a little comment, because I went to one of my best friends got married in a tiny little church in upstate New York. And mm-hmm. there were about 10 or 15 people there total. And everyone was clustered around the altar. No one was sitting in the pews or anything. But half the people had their cell phone cameras running, either in the video mode or the photo mode. And it was like, I see this all the time now. Instead of experiencing the moment, you're looking at looking through the cell phone screen at the moment.
Right.
And, you know, like the Pope comes to New York and he drives by and everyone's got the camera. And I'm like, it's the freaking Pope. Can't you just like absorb this moment? You know? So I was like, well, you know, you can see the Pope on YouTube or on the news and you could have that forever. It's like, but you're in that moment.
Sure. Well, you know, I think everybody does things differently. And I know what you mean. Of course, I feel like when I'm taking pictures, because I'm the designated picture taker, it's my job to be doing that. But I really do. When I see things through a lens, I see them much more clearly. I remember so much more. So it's kind of strange. And then with my Canon, I shoot everything in RAW format, which is just it's not JPEG, and so it's a very large
file size. It has a lot more size. Color information.
Yeah, color information, details of all kinds in there. And so you can blow them up, which means that I have found this place down in Florida called Fracture, like Fracture Glass.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually print pictures onto glass, the back of glass, and they put a backing on it. And so I have been dividing my pictures, blowing them up because they're raw. I can get really big pictures out of them, dividing them into three. And I made what they call a triptych, just three pictures in panels and using them in the living room as a backdrop. And I've got four now from Santorini that they're processing that are going to be 20 by 20 each.
Nice.
And they make one big picture that will be in the entranceway. And so I'm kind of going through picking the very best of what I've done from that trip. And it's going to be a nice remembrance all around the house of fairly inexpensive artwork. The big poster-sized pictures from Fracture are about $125 a piece, which if you've ever priced blowing up a picture and then framing it and matting it and all of that, That's a pretty good price.
Yeah, I actually looked to use them just before Christmas, and they had mm-hmm. their website, and they said, we're busy.
Yeah.
If you order now, you will get your photos after Christmas. So good for them. They're that popular. Good for them.
Right. And so, but you know, it personalizes the house. We walk around, we have nice pictures, and they're something you don't see everywhere. And they say something about us. And so I'm really thrilled with them. And they're so inexpensive that I can kind of change them every now and then, you know, put a different one up, put some in storage, and we get a different look. So,
you know, a triptych is a age old way of presenting visual imagery, Rick.
I didn't know that.
Well, if in the Middle Ages, a lot of the what I would call a home altar or home worship space would have a triptych of a series of paintings in three panels, and the two outside panels would hinge close like a door. So you would open them, and there'd be a main photo and then two side photos.
Oh,
The modern day equivalent is a dartboard that has the little doors that close.
Yeah.
Same thing. No religious iconography on the inside.
You know, and I even figured out a pretty good way to hang them without a lot of pain. And I did a web page on it. And if you go to rhkennerly.com and over in the photos, you'll see hanging a triptych. I figured out, you know, because the tricky part is getting the spacing between the pictures right, mm-hmm. as well as getting them level across. And I devised a way to do that that works pretty well and is pretty inexpensive and easy to do. And so I detail it all through there, and you know, there are pictures so you can follow along. And so it's kind of a garden forky. It's a DIY thing.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah.
So I'll send you a link so you can put it in the show notes.
If you're wondering how to support Garden Fork, one way is to shop on Amazon. If you go to the gardenfork.tv homepage, on the right-hand side, there'll be a couple of links to shop at Amazon. And if you use those links, it tells Amazon that you came from Garden Fork. Also, there is a link in our show notes of this episode right now. Or you can just go to gardenfork.tv/Amazon. That's gardenfork.tv/Amazon. That'll take you directly to Amazon. It'll tell them that you came from Garden Fork. And we really appreciate that. It really does help. All right? Thank you. Now, the issue here is I've taken 100 photos in a day, and then what do I do with them?
Well, the first thing you do is guard them very carefully.
Yeah, you back them up.
You know, I also have a Western Digital battery-powered hard drive that has a card reader on the side, and you pre-program it to copy your card, not just take everything off of it and wipe it clean. And I use 8 gigabyte cards for daily shoots, and then I have a couple of very high-speed 64 gigabyte cards for the video stuff. And I use a card per day, 1 8-gigabyte card per day, and back it up. And then Gail and I, she who must be obeyed, and I split the cards up when we travel. So she has half and I have half in case we lose them. Plus we have backups on the Western Digital battery-powered drive.
And that drive is a standalone. You don't have to have it plugged into a computer for it to copy like that?
Yeah, it's standalone.
Nice. My father-in-law does the same thing. He travels a lot now, and he had a similar thing where he lost a bunch of photos on a card, and now he has a small backup device that he uses. Now, when I get home, I plug my phone into the computer, and I mm-hmm. load all the photos in. And I used to use iPhoto to manage all the photos. And then I started to use something else. And now I use Lightroom. And I still haven't found the best way to manage all the photos because it's, I mean, there's 10,000 Labrador photos.
Yeah.
But I liked iPhoto, but Apple phased it out into now they have just a program called Photo, and I don't like it as much. And the Lightroom is almost way too much for what I need.
And, you know, I I have gone crazy on this, literally crazy. First of all, Flickr will give you free 1 terabyte of storage for photos.
Wow.
And so all you have to do is sign up with of course, Flickr is owned by Yahoo. So you have to have you have to sign up for a Yahoo account. But so you can get 1 terabyte free, and you can do almost everything you need to do there. And now they even have a an app for your both your cell phone and your main computer that whenever you plug in a card or it detects new pictures, it will upload them. I also bought, they had it just recently at Amazon. Of course, Amazon is one of the largest cloud-based storage providers in the world right now. Most people don't realize that.
Part of Garden Fork is served from Amazon servers now. All the really? Images. Yeah, all the yeah. images.
And they offered unlimited storage for $5 a year just recently. And so I bought that. And there's a little uploader for them that is on the computer. And so I'm really kind of doing both. One is a backup to the other. Plus, I have been letting the Apple photos go ahead and copy that stuff off just because I have so many already over there. So essentially, I'm doing it three times. That's crazy. But they're going onto a separate hard disk with the Apple thing. So I have one, you know, I'm really going a little overboard. But how do you store them? How do you sort them? How do you present them in a way that you can really see them and use them? It's always a problem for me.
Yeah, I still am not over the hump of storing my photos online. And there's part of me that's like, oh, that's so easy, Art. But then there's part of me that's like, what if somebody got to them, you know? But then it's like, well, what's the likelihood of that happening, Eric? So, yeah. And I can't remember which site this is, and I don't have it in front of me, but one of the photo library sites online has a sentence in their terms of use that they can use your photos.
Mm.
I'm not sure which one it is, so don't. I'm going to look into that actually after we get off the call here.
Yeah, I wonder if it's Google side. I don't know.
Yeah,
I do know that the Flickr, they can in the background upload all your photos, and then they're all private, and then you can push. In fact, I do that. I take certain pictures and make albums out of them that are public. But then you can set whether or not people can download those pictures or not.
Right. The cool thing about Flickr is the photos that are marked public are usually tagged really well. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place to get ideas for projects or design ideas or home improvement stuff or how to paint your, you know, what colors to paint your house. That kind of thing is very interesting.
Right.
Kind of like an idea board, big idea board, dream board, I think they call that.
Yeah. And, you know, and there are also on Flickr some very good users groups for different camera systems or different styles of, you know, there's Nikon user groups. And then for each of the Nikon cameras, there's a group for that. And for the Canon groups, there's a 70D group for people like me, but also for, you know, night photography and for still photography and for time-lapse photography and all the different kinds of photography.
I love it. I love that kind of like people getting together to share a common thing. So there's also the flip side of this is if you need a photo for a post you're writing on your site or something, there are places where you can get photos online and use them. And like Flickr, you can set the copyright settings of your photos. You can make them Creative Commons, and you can set different Creative Commons licensing rights. And then there's some places where people just upload their photos and whoever wants can use them however they like, which I find very interesting. And Rick sent me a list of them. Is there one in particular you use, Rick?
I usually don't use these at all. I just ran across this morning in a Medium article, and it's these 39 sites have amazing stock photos you can use for free. It's an article by Thomas Upong.
So we'll link to that in the show notes. Another site that I use is called Morgue File, all one word, like MorgueFile, Morgue File. And actually, for a lot of Garden Fork Radio ones, I need an image to kind of go along with the theme of the show. Like today, we're talking about photography, so I'll look for a camera. And so I will use an image from there for the website thumbnail photo for this show.
Right. And, you know, you can also use a lot of the National Archive pictures for free. If you're looking for something kind of old timey or whatnot, there's a lot of stuff in there you can download, and it's all public domain as well.
And files from photos from NASA are on the public domain.
Right. Yeah.
We paid for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we paid for them. Now, you said you've been experimenting with time-lapse photography.
Yes, there is a time. Well, first of all, on the iPhone, I have an iPhone 4S, which is evidently an older iPhone.
Yes, it is.
But the I think iOS 8 has a time-lapse video setting. And I don't know if people have noticed in the newer videos, I've been showing some time-lapses of Brooklyn street corners and things. And you literally just, I have a little tiny little tripod and I stick it on a traffic light in the corner and I turn it on and I just stand there, you know. But it has some set, you can't adjust the time lapse settings. You can't adjust how many frames, how many pictures it takes per second or per minute or how long it runs for. So I bought an app for the iPhone called Lapse-It, like time lapse, L-A-P-S-E space I-T. And I'm just starting to learn how to use it. It's not the most intuitive interface, but it's evidently, it was highly rated by some reviewers. It's sometimes the frame, when it's taking the pictures, all of a sudden the photos get really dark. And I'm not quite sure. There might be some glitch between the app and the exposure settings part of the camera.
Right.
So I'm going to go to B&H Photo this week, thanks to Garden Fork's Patreon supporters, who are people that support Garden Fork every month with a small contribution. You can learn more about that on the gardenfork.tv site, and there'll be a link in our show notes here. But because I get this bit of money every month, I can keep on buying new equipment, and I'm going to buy a time-lapse controller for my DSLR.
Ah, yeah.
And it looks like a TV remote control, and it has a cord that plugs into the camera. And I hope to do some kind of beautiful looking time lapses. I just like to watch the sun as it goes across the yard, stuff like that. And just, or like, I'm going to prune an apple tree next weekend. And mm-hmm. I thought, in addition to shooting how to prune the apple tree, I thought that would be a neat visual. I'm going to set the camera up on a tripod and kind of like a wide, high shot. And the whole time I'm pruning the apple tree, it'll be time lapsing it. So you'll see the tree go from this brambly mess to a pruned apple tree.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I see a lot of that with construction of projects and whatnot.
Yep.
Because it just takes a long time to do things. You don't want to see it in real time. And it also takes a long time if you're doing the project to stop, take a picture, and then restart what you're doing at every little step of the way.
Yep.
And so, you know, time lapse can be a real time saver for you as well. You know, I've been using one called Hyperlapse.
Uh-huh.
And Hyperlapse is nice because you can set the intervals, and it has extremely good motion dampening. And so you can even use it as a handheld, and it's very good about dampening the motion. And then you can even set it to one, the value of one, and it just makes it into one long real-time video. There's no lapse to it, but very good dampening of the motion. And so I use that a lot.
Cool.
So it's working out. But, you know, one of the other things I'm doing to brush up on my skills is I'm going back through the courses I have used on Lynda, L-Y-N-D-A, mm-hmm. the courses online on both videography and DSLR, just to, you know, brush up on the basics and to get some ideas and to kind of get those creative juices flowing and get me back into thinking about like a photographer and like a videographer.
And if you have a library card from your local library, you may have access to lynda.com for free.
That's right. I do.
Yeah, pretty neat.
Through the Virginia Beach Public Libraries.
I have to walk down to my branch of the Brooklyn Library and make sure my card is current so I can do that. Neato.
All right. Well, we've talked quite a lot about photography, but I think it's a... it's a interesting topic, and I use the very best camera you have is the one that you have in your hand.
Yes, that's the key thing to take from this is like use what you got.
Yeah, and try whip out the iPhone or your Android or something, and try taking the picture. You never know what happens, and lots of times you can enhance it a little bit, fool with it, you get a pretty good picture, and it beats not having a picture at all.
I like the Sharpen filter.
Yes. It is my friend.
Well, cool. Well, thanks, everyone. Appreciate you taking the time to listen to us. I hope you're at your destination or you're getting there safely. If you you want to take a minute and go to the iTunes Garden Fork Radio page on iTunes and write us a review, that would be really helpful. That helps us in the search rankings there. Just talk about DIY and how to... what other words you want, or, really just whatever you want is fine. So,
and we certainly appreciate everybody that contributes on the Patreon campaign. Like I say, a buck a show or a cup of coffee, you say.
Yeah.
It really helps to offset some of the cost of doing these things.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for your time, Rick.
Okay.
We will see you again soon.
And we'll talk to you. I have a better setup now. Maybe we can actually... talk from Florida.
Oh, neat. We'll do the remote again.
Yeah.
Watch out for the alligators.
Yeah, last time it didn't go well. Yeah, I keep my dog on a string when we're down there. You never know.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you very much.
Okay. Talk to you later, my friend.
All right.
Stay warm. Bye-bye.
Garden Fork's theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com.